I also count it a privilege and a blessing to be here to worship with you this morning. I've been blessed with the service, with the devotional this morning. It's been very inspiring just to think about the Word of God and us desiring after that. And I trust this morning that we are desiring to be fed from the Word of God. Also in the Sunday school, I really appreciated the discussion that was in there from the book of Galatians there. Thank you for your prayers, and I want to thank each one that is here for your support and your prayers, and especially as I look out over the congregation here, I'm just reminded again of the goodness of God and of how good it is for us to worship with those of like precious faith. And I want to bring you greetings from our church in Maryland, from Hope and Light Christian Fellowship. We do invite you to come and visit us sometime. For those of you who have, thank you for coming. We always enjoy visitors. Like Ruben mentioned, I have an assigned message this morning. The message that was assigned to me was a message on giving. And then the question was, is 10% enough? And as we look into the Word of God this morning, I think we will find some answers for some of those questions. My mind went to a verse in Proverbs 3, verse 9. Where it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And I think that is talking about us giving, honoring God with the possessions and the things that God gives to us. And there's a lot that could be said about this verse, and I don't plan to just spend a lot of time on it, but let's just remember that we are to honor God with the increase, with the first fruits of all our increase. And as we think about giving and our responsibility as God's people, I believe God depends a lot on his people. I know he does, to give. There's missions, there's just a lot of places where it takes a lot of money. And is 10% enough? We'll look into that a little bit later here. We have a choice to do what we're going to do with our money, with our substance. And when it comes to honoring God, I get to think that through that, and think how I want to respond to it and how I'm going to approach it and what I'm going to do with what God has blessed me with, and with you as well. Giving is a large subject. We can find it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And I think it's so important. It's an important subject for us to consider. And we live in a time of just unlimited and a lot of opportunities that we have to give. And I think especially in the area or in the country where we're in, and especially in our area here, in the area that you have here, and not only here, but there's another parts as well where there's a lot of prosperity. There's just a lot of opportunity. It just seems like that money can be very... It's not hard to make some money. And there's a lot of temptations that go with that, but we want to look at the blessings of it this morning as well. Jesus said that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. I guess those are the words of Paul. But Jesus also said that to whom much is given, much will be required. That was one of Jesus' teachings when he was teaching, and he said that to whom much is given, much will be required. And so the fact is, and I think we all have to admit this morning, that we have much, don't we? We live in in very good times when we just have a lot of things. Much more, I believe, than what we need. I know we do, and I'm sure that Brother Leroy could probably tell us a lot of stories about the places where he goes in Iraq, and for those of you who have spent some time in the mission field, there's just a lot of poverty in the world today, and here we are where we are with all that we have, and Jesus said that where much is given, there will also be much required. So there's some important questions for us to consider this morning. How are we going to honor God with our substance? Or how much should I give? Where should I give? And also, is tithing for the New Testament church today? So those are just some things that we want to just think about as we think about giving this morning. There's a quote that I read, I think I heard somebody say one time that the poorest man in the world is he who has nothing but money. And that probably doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people, but I believe we can understand what that means. If all we have is money, we are very poor people when it comes to our spiritual side of it and the aspect of it. And so as we grow with the assets that God has given us, does our giving grow? God is very much interested in our giving. I thought of the verse there in 1 Corinthians 13. It's the love chapter. I could probably quote it, but I think I'm going to turn to it and read it. Understand that there's not only the Christian people, God's people that give. I believe there's a lot more people that give as well. You can read it. You can read about it. You hear about it. Big gifts that were donated to certain things. But here, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity," he said, "I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing." Then verse 3 says, "And do I bestow all my goods to feed the poor? And do I give my body to be burned, and have not charity? It profiteth me nothing." Here we see Paul's just bringing out that we can do a lot of good things. We can give a lot of money. He says that even if somebody decides to give all his goods to the poor, but he doesn't have love, or he doesn't have charity, it doesn't profit him anything. And so that's very important for us to think about that when we give. If we don't give with a right attitude, if we don't give in love, it's just like Jesus said to the Pharisees, for those when he was talking about them, he said they love to stand in the street corners and to pray, and there's certain other things a few other things I think that he said about them there. But the only reward they get is really what people give to them or what they get from men. They don't receive anything from God. So that's just one side of it that we want to look. Giving is very important, but it's also very important that we give with the blessing of God and that we have charity, like it says here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to just turn to some scriptures this morning and bring out some thoughts from some of the verses that we can relate to with our giving. Paul writing here, he said, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And the list goes on there. But I want to just think about verse 1 there, where it says that there's going to be perilous times in the last days. And what does that have to do with our giving? It says men will love themselves. And there's something about our giving. There's something about sharing and with our money that brings satisfaction to us if we give it in the right way. It takes the focus off of me, myself, and I, and it's putting it on others. It's putting it to a better cause. The word perilous here means dangerous and also treacherous. But the Greek also brings out the thought that it means slowly getting tired and you just wear out. And can we apply this to our giving this morning? You know, I believe that it affects our giving when we realize that God has given us all things, that everything that we own is God's. But he tells us here that in the last days there's going to be perilous times. There's going to be times when people are going to get tired and they're going to wear out. And I think that we can apply that to our giving. And I'd like to just encourage us this morning, as God blesses us, as he prospers. We're going to be reading some of those verses later as well. But I think if we have a proper aspect or a proper view of God, I'm going to just read a few verses here in Psalm 50. Verses 10 to 13. It says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." As we look at this here, at these verses here, it's just telling us that everything that we have is the Lord's. And as Christians, as God's people, if we have that kind of a God consciousness, I believe that everything that we have, everything that we owe, is God's. And he wants us to be a good steward. Jesus taught us parables, gave us several parables on being good stewards and stewardship. And if we're a good steward of something, we're going to try to please, we'll do the best we can to please our master. And we're working for him. We're his servant. We're his slave. And we're doing it for his honor and for his glory, and we're going to give it all back to him. I believe that's what the psalmist is saying here. So the question is, how much of the things that we have today are ours? Really, it's nothing. And let's not ever forget that the things that we have is something that God is blessing us with, and he wants us to be a good steward, and we need to be willing to give those things back to him. I think about that rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and he asked Jesus what he needs to do to have eternal life, and Jesus told him. He wanted him to go. He told him just go sell everything that he has. And he wasn't willing to do that. He went away sorrowful. And Jesus made that comment that it's easier for I should have read that. It's something about getting into heaven through the eye of a needle. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. And that puts, I think if we know and if we understand, and I believe we do, I don't believe that Jesus expects us to just simply sell out everything and just depend on other people. But rather, he wants us to have our things so that we can use them to bring honor to him. There's just lots of different opportunities that we have. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Another verse that I'd like to look at. 1 Timothy 6:17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in their own certain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God gives us a lot of things, and we should never think that we can't enjoy the things that God gives to us, because he does. I believe God takes pleasure in fulfilling our needs, and he wants us to enjoy the things that he gives to us. However, we can see here that our riches can also become a snare if we're not careful. I believe that all of us know that money has a way of getting away from us. And it can become... If we put our trust in riches, why, there's many testimonies of people who have done that, and they end up with not much at all if they start doing that. Now, in the Old Testament, I'd like to think about that a little bit. In the Old Testament, the idea of tithing, and some of the, just a few verses here that have to do with that, or give us the thought of tithing in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, these are, I think, probably familiar verses with us. I'm going to just read a few verses on that. What the prophet Malachi is saying here about tithing, and he asked a question. He said, will a man rob God? Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithe and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, this was in the Old Testament. They were promised. That was a promise, I believe, that went with the children of Israel in the Old Testament, that if they would tithe, that God would bless them. He would prosper them if they kept the commandments of God. I think there was other things that were tied in with this as well, but that was one of them things, that if they did that. And is that true for us today? I don't think it is. I think we have to look at it in a different way this morning as we think about, because Jesus never talked about tithing that I know of, but he did talk a lot about, he left a lot of examples on giving and how he did that. In Numbers chapter 18, we have, I'm not going to turn to these scriptures, but there's a tithe that was to go to the Levites, and a 10%. I think they were to give 10% to the Levites there, and it was to support the Levites. They were the priests, and they didn't have jobs, and so they were, the rest of the tribe there was required to give them tithe, and it was for, I think, also had something to do with the work in the temple there, to keep the temple maybe maintained or whatever, but 10% for that. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 12, there was a yearly feast where they were to bring their first fruits, and they were also give 10% of that. And then there was a tithe every 3 years in Deuteronomy 14, and these were to go, a 10% was to go to the widows and to the orphans. Then on top of that, God expected them to share, to voluntarily give, and to give with their first fruits. So we say 10% tithing, and I believe if we look at this here, and we think about all the different tithes that they had to do, it was probably a lot higher than just 10% that the children of Israel were required to tithe. It could have been as high as between 20% and 30% for their of all the taxes and tithe that God was requiring of his people. Now that was in the Old Testament. And that was a commandment that said that you have to do this. And if you were going to be accepted by God, you had to pay your tithe. And that was what God required. But what does the New Testament say? We did look at a few verses. I'd like to look at Acts chapter 20. There's a verse here, verse 35. Paul was saying these words. He said, I'm just kind of breaking in here, showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul was getting ready to leave the people. I'm not even sure where he was at this time, but I think it was maybe at Ephesus, but he was getting ready to leave, and the people were gathered around him there. And so this is what he said to them. He was commending them for their support that they were giving to him. And then he used the words of Jesus, where he said that it is more blessed to give than to receive. I believe a lot of you here this morning have been on the receiving end of it already. And we have been. And I can testify to the words that Paul says here, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. However, I believe that when that time comes, John Mark thanked the church this morning for the offering that he gave. And I believe, I know how he feels. There was times when there was offerings taken for us, for our family, for certain things that we have, hospital bills. You feel unworthy of that. And it is more pleasant to give, more blessed to give than it is to receive. However, if we are on the receiving end of it, I believe that God wants to bless us in that way too, and we should take it as a blessing and thank him for that, and thank also the people that were involved in it. This verse here stands out in stark contrast to the world that is around us. You know, it seems like there's a lot of people that are wanting things today. There's a lot of beggars on the streets. People are hungry, and they're hungry for money, and it seems like they would always like to have more, and to try to get as much as they can. Let's be aware of that. That can be a snare, I believe, for us. And when I think it actually can be a sin when we start overcharging because of our desire for riches and money. Just a few thoughts that I have here. New Testament giving is about giving up, giving of myself. It is a way of life. And I already alluded to Jesus and how he was. In his way of life, he left us a good example. Jesus was one who was willing to give of everything that he had. He gave of his assets. He gave of his time. He gave of his material possessions. He gave a listening ear. He gave attention to the needs that were around him. He gave his talents. He gave his life. He gave his all. And what an example. What a blessing. What a beautiful picture. John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is also a beautiful picture of what God gave. And how Jesus gave. It tells us that Jesus, he was willing to even to lay down his life. And he did that for us. He gave everything that he had. Second Corinthians chapter 9. Several verses here that I'd like to read. Verse 6 says, "For this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye are always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever." Two principles here that we can gather from this verse. And just jumping ahead of myself here a little bit. But it says here that we are to give cheerfully. There is no blessing in giving grudgingly. And if we want to experience the blessing of God, we should give with a cheerful heart. Giving of our time. And I'm not just talking about money at this time. I believe that there's so many opportunities for us to give. Starting in our home congregations, people that have needs, are we willing to go and help when there's a need? Maybe there's a work project, or maybe there's something that needs to be done, that are we willing to go and to help with that? The word cheerful here in Greek, it means the principle to give cheerfully and to be cheerful is one who gives because he wants to. It means favorably or disposed. And then another word that comes out in Greek, if you look it up in Strong's, that it's the word hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. It's not really the way that we would say it, but that is what it actually brings out in the Strong's. And so we think of somebody who's hilarious, he's happy, he's laughing about what he's doing, and I don't know. I haven't been able to see how yous were all responding this morning when the offering was being passed around, if yous were all smiling and laughing about this gift that God gave to you to give to others. I believe it can be in our hearts. I think that we should be that way, that we are a hilarious giver, one who gives because he wants to. There's in verse 8 here, there's an important key that we want to just notice, that God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, I'm not talking this morning about a health and a wealth gospel, because I don't believe the Bible teaches that at all. But I do believe that God blesses people who give. And not always with money, not always with probably what we would consider, he does. He does bless us. It says here that he is able to make all grace abound toward us. And I believe that when we give with a willing heart and not grudgingly, we give it cheerfully. God loves that kind of a giver, and he will bless him for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, several verses here that I'd like to just look at as well. And there's two principles in here as well. We ask, when do we give, or how do we give? These are questions that we're considering this morning. Verse 1 says, Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, and that there be no gatherings when I come. Here it tells us that we get the idea, we get the principle of giving on the first day of the week, which you have practiced that here this morning. I think it's a wonderful opportunity. It's a good way to do it. That we lay back for the Sunday morning offering. Let every one of you lay by him in store. Let's just think about that there. As we go through the week and God is blessing us, you get your paycheck on I don't know which day of the week you get it. Oftentimes it's on a Friday. And you start thinking about the offering on Sunday morning. What am I going to put in this? And think about that. Just consider the goodness of God. And I believe that when we start letting our mind go to the needs that are around us, and to there's so many opportunities for us we have a lot of newsletters in our mailboxes. I believe about every Sunday there's a report from a mission somewhere, and oftentimes there's needs, and I believe it's very important that we that you think about and not just wait till Sunday morning you pull out your wallet and you discover maybe there's not as much money in there as you don't have very much money in there and you just put a little bit in. But I think it's good for us to have a routine way of giving. And I think Sunday mornings is a very good time to do that when you do it through the church. As God has prospered him, we are blessed. He has blessed us so much. And I'd like to just encourage us that we give regularly and we have a scheduled giving. I think it's good when we do that. We discipline ourselves in that way, that we have a scheduled giving, not just when I feel like it or how I feel like it, or even just a 10%. I think it's a good place to start, but as God has prospered, you know, that could go even a lot more than that. We live in a time, in an era of time when I don't know if it was ever so easy for young people and businessmen to make money as what it is today. Wages are, I just can't believe sometimes when I think back of how when I started working my first job and what I got paid per hour, and I thought I was getting a good wage. I think my starting wage was $8.50 an hour, and that was pretty good, considered pretty good wages at that time. And I worked for 3 years for my cousin, and he kept giving me raises. And by the time I finished, I was still not as high as what a lot of you are starting with today. And I had a good job. And so God is blessing you, young people, businessmen here this morning. And I know that you do. I trust that you do. That you, as God has prospered, as God blesses you. And the temptation comes with all that is to squander that money on things that we don't need. And to go on a lot of people like to go to the mountains on the weekend, or to go down to the beach, or they go on hunting trips, and they do all this and that. I'm not saying that's wrong. I think we need to be very careful how we spend our money. Let's just remember that we're stewards of the things that God gives to us, and he wants us to return. Everything is his. Can we get that? Even that truck that you own or that business that you own is the Lord's. There's two things that I thought I had it here in my notes, but I'm not sure if I do. There's two things that the Bible tells us that will never fail or will endure forever. And one of them is, we heard that this morning, is the Word of God. The Word of God will endure forever. It's not your job. And another thing is our soul. Our soul will be somewhere forever. And so as we think about that this morning, and all the money that we make, you know, we can't take anything with us. Nothing. And there's so many areas and ways that we can use that money for God. Now, I remember my dad many times when he was preaching, especially when he would be preaching on a message on the home or children. But often I would hear him say that there is only one thing that we can take with us to heaven. And I don't know if you remember what he would have said about that or not, for those of you who heard him preach, and that is our children. He said it is the only thing that we have here on this earth that we can take with us to heaven. And we know that there's even limitations to that. Our children have to make choices. But as I was thinking about that, I believe that if we would put more emphasis on our life and teaching our children the seriousness of life and even taking care of their money, spending their money wisely, and we would put more emphasis on that, I believe that our material possessions would mean a lot less to us, because they can tend, our money can tend to even drive, to turn our children away from God if we're not careful with that. So let's be serious about some of the things. Freely you have received, freely give. What are we going to do with all that God has given to us? I get a little mixed up with the clock here sometimes because we start a half hour later there, so sometimes I don't want to get carried away with this here. But I'd like to just a few thoughts here toward the end of the message here. Statistic tells us that there are, each year there's about 25,000 people die of starvation. That's a lot of people when we think of people that are dying because they don't have enough to eat. And how much food is wasted here in America? And even maybe with just amongst ourselves sometimes, because sometimes it spoils because we don't get it used in time. And as we think of the seriousness of all that, it just being of our possessions being the Lord's and using it as an opportunity to feed those people that are starving. So how should we give? This morning I would just encourage that you, first of all, you give locally, and that is within your church. I think that is a very good way to give. Give consistently. And I mentioned missions, and it seems like there's hardly ever enough of money. They could use more. There would be more opportunities for them to reach out if they would have more finances or more money. So let's just think about some of those things and then just ask ourselves the question, is 10% enough? And I know it varies for different people. I believe that for a lot of us, we would probably have to conclude that it is not enough. I'm not here to answer that question for you. You can do that for yourself. But I do know that Jesus taught us how to give. He taught us how to live, and he taught us many things. And he was very unselfish in everything that he did. Don't ever read that Jesus turned anybody away. I believe there was times when he was very tired, and he would have wanted to rest. But then there was 5,000 people that followed him. and needed some food, and he provided for them. In closing, I'd like to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 6 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." I think I'm going to start reading there. We could read on. But those are verses that I like to encourage for all of us to make them personal in our lives and to think about that. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Are you content this morning? And as you learn how to give and to lay hold on eternal life, don't give up. This morning I'd like to just encourage you. There's so many, as we learn how to manage our time and our resources that God has given to us, don't give up. There is a blessing to the individual that gives. God promises that blessing. And like I said this morning, I don't believe in just because we give a lot that God is going to return a lot to us, especially when it comes to money. But there is a blessing. We will receive a blessing. If not here, that blessing will be eternal someday when we can be with Jesus.